The AFR app is a powerful tool, but it does have limitations. You can't use it to change the oil in your vehicle or get rid of carpet stains. It won't walk the dog, won't pick up the dry cleaning, or take the kids to practice. But while you're doing those things, you can listen to your favorite AFR content through the app on your phone, smart device, or Roku. Just go to your app store or visit AFR.net. Listen to AFR wherever you go with the AFR app.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR on this Tuesday, May the 13th, 2025. Joining me in studio is Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, Tim.
And Chris Woodward.
Good morning.
And joining us from Kansas City, KS, is Ray Pritchard. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. You were giving a weather report earlier to Brent, our producer here.
Oh, listen, this is really more like late June weather here in Kansas City. It's sunny skies. There's not a cloud around, and it's going to be 88 or 89 degrees today and 90-something tomorrow. So farewell to winter. It's long gone, baby.
Riding your bike?
Yes, I have been. I dusted it off and pulled it out over the weekend and have been riding some. I had kind of honestly put it aside a little bit the last several months, and I'm back on the wheels now.
Okay, well.
His weather is the opposite of what we're experiencing here in our home base, Tupelo.
Yeah, we've got a rain cloud on top of us for like 5 days.
It's parked.
It's like biblical.
When it stops, we're all going to break out in heavenly sunlight.
Yeah, I don't know. You look at the radar, it's just really strange. It's just sitting on top of us here, but I don't know. They're sending the camp, but we don't know where.
That's right. Somebody really messed up.
It's like
we don't know who.
It's you know how these weather patterns sometimes just repeat themselves.
It parks itself over a low pressure system.
Yeah. Rain after rain after rain after rain. Anyway, it'll clear off here before long, dry out, and we'll be hoping for rain in August.
That's right. That's right.
We'll be wishing, where's the rain in August? All right. Thank you for listening to American Family Radio. Dr. Frank Turek will join us momentarily. We look forward to visiting with Frank, as we always do. The first news story we have, though, is President of the United States, right?
Yes, President of the United States Donald Trump is in Saudi Arabia today. As a matter of fact, Fox and MSNBC, a whole bunch of news outlets, seem to think he might actually be delivering remarks later this hour from Saudi Arabia. But in the meantime, the president is over there wheeling and dealing. He's already promised big business deals, big beautiful business deals, between the U.S. and Saudi Arabia. It's actually a who's who of people. Elon Musk is over there, but also companies like Coca-Cola. And I can say that based on things like Sean Hannity, Fox News personality Sean Hannity. He's over there as part of this tour featuring the president. I've got some audio from Sean Hannity right now, clip 9.
I sat next to one of the cabinet members, and he's one of the longest serving cabinet members in Saudi Arabia. Their overwhelming desire is for peace in the region. And their overwhelming belief is that the person that is best able to bring that together is going to be President Trump. And there's a reason why that the Saudis have committed over $1 trillion in investment in the United States to have all their top ministers, all their top business people, every American, I mean, from Coca-Cola on down and Steve Schwarzman, I could run through the list of people that were in this room. It was a who's who. And to see the desire to have a great business working relationship that benefits both countries, that seems to be where their focus is.
Now, I'm going to post a picture or an article on our Today's Issues Facebook page because it shows the president's limo rolling up on the Saudi palace, and he's being escorted by presumably Saudi security forces on Arabian horses, and they're carrying American flags. They have rolled out the purple carpet, as they call it there in Saudi Arabia, for Donald Trump.
Yeah, part of this, if you can believe it, $1 trillion deal. They've been involved in the last couple of hours in what they're calling a investment forum. And I just saw a headline there as we were listening to the Fox report there. And amongst the deals being made, now this is according to the headline, one of the biggest military deals ever. So I'm assuming that Saudi Arabia is going to purchase a bunch of, I don't know, fighter jets, other military equipment from the United States. But we're talking $1 trillion in deals. I also saw the headline that was talking about AI investment, which we know is a big thing these days. So President Trump is supposed to, I think, have a news conference at some point in the next few hours, and maybe he'll lay out a little bit more in detail what these deals that he's been able to acquire today.
Now, so these business leaders of these major corporations, I guess American corporations, are their CEOs are in Saudi Arabia along with President Trump to meet with Saudi representatives? Is that right?
Yeah, Elon Musk is one of them. I actually cut that portion out of the Sean Hannity bite, but I can confirm that Elon Musk is there based on photographic evidence.
But he mentioned the Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola. Yes. Yep. So a lot on the table here. And we've been told the primary purpose of this trip is economic. I think what Trump is trying to make good on his promise that he's going to make all kinds of deals. He's got – now, this doesn't involve – my understanding, this – these deals that we're hearing today there in Saudi Arabia do not involve tariffs and that kind of thing. No. This is a straight-up business deals, Saudis investing in American companies, purchasing perhaps military equipment, that kind of thing.
Our Saudi Arabia, Ray, has 33 million people.
Right.
That's is that the size of California, roughly?
I think California may be more than that.
California, maybe 40, something like that.
Yeah, we'll find out here in just a second. But, you know, I was thinking, Mr. Trump, he was made for a trip like this. Yeah. Talk about the art of the deal. This is what the art of the deal is all about. And it coming at a good time because the president is on a roll. He brokered a trade deal with China, worked out some kind of ceasefire between India and Pakistan, and he says the Houthis are going to stop sending missiles into Israel. And this morning, inflation has come in below expectations. So if there's ever a moment for President Trump to shine, this is really it. He was born to do what he is doing right now.
You know,
deals in Saudi Arabia.
I think it was this morning, I was reading a news article about his approval ratings have swung like 15 points in 2 weeks or something like that, which is unheard of in a presidency. That I've never heard of that. Maybe, but it's because of the reasons you just mentioned. You know, you had the bad news a couple weeks ago with the stock market basically going in the tank, and a lot of worry around the world, and now about the economic and the trade deals and all that. And tariffs, and now that's sort of reversed itself, especially with the at least the 90-day pause in you know, going at each other between China and the United States in terms of the trade.
And I just heard yesterday how important that 90-day pause is, because that's when companies here in the United States purchase the goods that they're going to sell for back to school and for Christmas.
Right.
So this 90-day pause, this is why the stock market just went crazy yesterday.
Yeah. In a good way.
In a good way, yeah.
Yeah. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Yeah.
Just one more point on the Trump visit there to Saudi Arabia. When you talk about opulence, wow. You know, and these countries, we talked yesterday about Qatar going to hand over a $400 million 747. Like, it's like, here's an extra plane we have. Go ahead. You can have the 747. Well, there, and Brett Baer of Fox was reporting on this morning. They have an entertainment district there in Riyadh, where President Trump is. And it has, if you've ever seen pictures of the Las Vegas Strip, big hotels and restaurants and fancy waterfalls and all of that sort of thing. They built, Brett Baer was reporting last night, the Saudis built that entertainment area in Riyadh in 115 days. Like, apparently it was a piece of desert, and they created all of this in 115 days with 40,000 workers. I've never heard of anything like that before.
Mm-mm. Well, this is all oil money, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, do you know of any other industry, Ray, in Saudi Arabia?
Well,
except for oil?
Do they need any other industry?
Evidently not.
Oil.
I just find it the irony of ironies that Elon Musk is over there because he's known for electric cars.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Which don't use oil.
Okay.
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead, Chris.
So, yeah, beyond oil, Saudi Arabia produces a wide variety of goods, including petrochemicals, cement, steel, and manufactured goods.
Okay.
They also have minerals. They're big into gold, copper, phosphate.
Is sand a mineral?
It should be, if it's not, because they have plenty of that. By the way, what did you say your high was going to be today, Ray?
88.
Okay, so Donald Trump, our president, is wearing a big suit over there, and the high today is 106.
Hello.
Fahrenheit.
Yeah, the low is 85.
Yeah, but it's a dry heat.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You know, here's the interesting thing, too, is a lot of people think, well, the danger in that region is between Saudi Arabia and Israel, for example, because you have the Muslim Jewish clash or the Israeli Saudi clash, whatever like that. That's actually not the truth. No longer. The danger is between Iran,
yes,
and Saudi Arabia,
mm-hmm.
or the Shia and Sunni divisions in the religion of Islam. Actually, Saudi Arabia has gotten along really well with the Israelis. As have other neighboring countries like Egypt and Jordan. And of course, we know what's happened in Lebanon. The country itself has been basically hijacked by the Hezbollah terrorist organization. But I'm just saying that I think if, in fact, Ray, we, the United States, are going to sell fighter jets and other military equipment to Saudi Arabia, it would be, I would think, not to be used against Israel, but our neighboring country. Of course, no guarantee on that, but it would be to in response to the tensions that Iran poses, right?
Well, the Saudis understand the number one problem, the number one danger, the number one locus of evil in the Middle East. It's not in Jerusalem, not in Tel Aviv, it's not in Amman, it's not in Beirut,
right.
It's in Tehran. It's not in Iraq.
Right.
Iraq's not the player that it
right.
was 20 years ago. The source of the danger in the Middle East is in Iran. And I think the Saudis would like to make some kind of, I don't know what you would call it, some kind of peace treaty, some kind of arrangement with Israel where the nations officially accepted each other.
Don't they have the Abraham Accords?
Uh-huh. Yeah. That came
you know
in the
talking about?
Yeah.
They had, you know what I'm talking about,
right? Right. And I think that it's altogether in the U.S.'s interest to facilitate a friendly relationship between the Saudis and the Israelis because they have a common foe, and that's the Iranians.
Let me ask you this, Ray, just not to divert too much into the religious aspect of this, but still a lot of Americans just think, well, they're all Muslims over there in that part of the world. You know, if they're not Israelis and they're not Jews, they're all Muslims. I'm talking about in the Middle East.
Right.
But actually the Sunni branch of Islam and the Shia branch of Islam, they don't like each other. They consider each other cults, don't they?
Well, that's exactly right. And it goes back, it's really genealogy. it's which branch has the, quote, true claim going all the way back to Muhammad. And the Sunnis say one thing and the Shias say another. And it's not like we're talking 50-50 here. The number of Sunni Muslims vastly.
80-20.
Yeah, 80-20. Vastly outnumbers the Shias, who therefore are very resentful toward the Sunnis. And that is part of the fracture inside the Middle East. It's part of the fracture between the Saudis and Iran.
Right. So the Islam in Iran is Shia, what they call Shia, and the Islam in much of the Middle East, including Saudi Arabia and the other Arab countries, would be Sunni.
So, that's exactly right.
So that's what we have going on here. But the big news is, again, the big news is that the President of the United States, Donald Trump, is in Saudi Arabia talking all kind of things with issues with the, is it called the Crown Prince?
Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman.
But what do you think Donald Trump calls him?
Ben.
You think he calls him that?
Probably.
Yeah. Hey, call me Ben.
Yeah.
Or maybe Mo.
Yeah.
But anyway, all right. So, Chris, is the president, how long is he going to be in? By the way, you mentioned, I would encourage people, if they can, to watch that video of the horses.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, these Saudi Arabian, beautiful horses, white. And they're escorting the president's motorcade.
Yes.
Up to the palace, yeah. I guess, to meet with the crown prince.
Yeah.
I posted that link. It's a New York Post article, but it has
pretty impressive video with the American flags, the horses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a 4-day trip to the Middle East. This is the first stop. He's also going to be spending some time with the United Arab Emirates, which I learned today are called Emirates.
The Emirates?
Yeah, the people from the United Arab Emirates. And then
they also used to live down the street.
They could. Yeah. Yeah.
Emirates. They moved.
They're going to have big business deals there as well.
At the UAE. Mm-hmm. UAE is very similar to Saudi Arabia. They're also...
they're neighbors.
Yes.
They're also Sunni Muslim, and they're also... Where is Dubai, Ray? Where is Dubai? Isn't that... Who knows here?
It's on the peninsula, right?
But it's a part of the UAE, right? It's within the UAE, or is it Kuwait? It's not Kuwait.
It is part of the UAE. It's situated on the Persian Gulf.
But I'm seeing Dubai is a city within the UAE,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
But big tall buildings there.
But that is a. How did that grow up out of the desert, Ray? Do you know? I mean, I know it's oil money, but go ahead. Do you know anything about
that? What else are we going to say besides that it's oil money and it's right there on the Gulf? It's a perfect location.
It's right? Like a beautiful city.
Sure.
I mean,
Yeah, if you want to see good pictures of it, one of the last Mission Impossible movies, mm-hmm. Tom Cruise.
Oh yeah, he scaled. Didn't he?
That was scary watching that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's that building, which is the tallest building in the world.
I believe so.
In Dubai.
Yeah.
Right. He was. Some of it, I'm told, was real. Some of this stuff outside.
Tom Cruise is.
Tom Cruise is crazy when it comes to doing his own stunts.
I know.
But that gave you a pretty good idea of the depth and breadth of that city. It's incredible.
Fred, what are you saying? We can't trust everything that comes out of Hollywood? It's not all real?
No, yeah. But I have read stories about Tom Cruise and his stunts.
And yeah.
He insists on doing a lot of those himself.
In the what is supposed to be his final Mission Impossible that's coming out, he hangs off an airplane mid-flight with no attachment.
But he's done that before.
Yeah. By the way, the big tall building there, the tallest building.
Think Donald Trump's going to do that while he's over there?
I don't think so.
Secret Service might say no.
Hanging off an airplane?
No, yeah. No
net.
He might pay somebody else to do it.
JD, you get out there.
Yes, sir, Mr. Brown.
You're the number two.
You're an ex-Marine. Get out there.
The big tall building out there in Dubai is Burj Khalifa, if I said that correctly. Dubai also has a man-made island called Palm Jumeirah.
I've often wondered: are all those offices filled all the way to the top of the building, or is it just made?
They work remotely now.
For the looks, anyway, they work remotely now too. Big deal going on in Saudi Arabia. Well, anyway, what I was going to ask you, you said the president will be leaving there whenever he does, next day or two, going to the UAE, which is probably a 30-minute flight from Riyadh, or that's where he is today, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then where else?
Qatar.
Qatar.
I'm not sure if he's going to pick up the airplane, but.
The free airplane they're wanting to give him?
Yes.
Flying Palace?
Yes.
Now, what about that, Fred? What do we know about that? Because some people are accusing President Trump of taking a gift from a foreign.
Well, the White House has made it clear. If he accepts this, he's accepting it on the part of the Defense Department, because it will become the new Air Force One until Boeing at some point completes the order for the two new Air Force Ones, which we're told it could take till 2029. So this the existing Air Force One is 40 years old, and they're looking for a new Air Force One. This particular plane, I think, is around 11 years old that Qatar is offering to the United States.
Well, we're watching the video on TV. They're really rolling out the red carpet, if that's what they have over there.
Purple.
Yeah.
Purple carpet for President Trump and for the American team, including a lot of top-level business people that are in Saudi Arabia for this meeting. Between the U.S. and Saudi Arabia. All right. Well, we will keep you posted there if anything new breaks. I wonder. He's not scheduled to stop in Israel, right?
Not at this time.
And we just discussed this at our newsroom story meeting this morning. I wonder how Israel is feeling about this. This is the president's first trip abroad during this since the election, and he's not making a stop in Israel. Some people are scratching their heads a little bit about that.
I wonder if he'll make one, though. It wouldn't be unlike Donald Trump to announce this afternoon he's going to be stopping in Tel Aviv on the way back to the U.S.
And he may make a stop on Thursday in Turkey for this other meeting.
Well, I personally don't take anything from that. There's been no better friend to Israel than Donald Trump.
That is correct.
As president of the United States, Mike Huckabee now is the ambassador there. Mm-hmm. I just think President Trump went to Saudi Arabia because that's a big business partner with the U.S. and those other Arab countries, and he can go right. He can go to Israel. He might surprise us with an announcement, but he may do Israel another time.
You got all these security concerns if you're going to go to Israel.
Yes,
you know you're with the problem. The problem down in Gaza. It wouldn't surprise me if Israel is on the schedule, but for security reasons has not been announced.
Right.
And it will appear as if he just swooped out of the sky.
Right. And it would be difficult. You know, President Trump, having been in Israel myself many times, to go to Ben Gurion Airport would be okay, and then go maybe somewhere in Tel Aviv. But if you're going to go to Jerusalem, I don't know when the last time a U.S. president went to Jerusalem, a sitting U.S. president went to Jerusalem. Do you know? I can't remember.
Was Trump there when they moved the?
Maybe he was.
When they opened the embassy?
When they did the embassy? I think he was.
I don't know. What kind of alert are we getting here? I'm hearing something here.
Oh, I've got it right here.
Oh, yeah.
He visited there in May of 2017 during
President
the
city. Trump did. While he's president?
Yeah, he became the first U.S. president to visit the Western Wall in the old city
of
Jerusalem.
Okay, well.
That's right. That's right.
Okay, well, good for him.
Yes.
See there? He's that's good to note. But what I'm saying is Tel Aviv and the surrounding area is a very modern city, and you would be able to navigate the roads for a presidential motorcade. You get in Jerusalem, you forget that. Jerusalem is an ancient city, obviously. And many of the roads were, I'm talking about inside the city, many of the roads were built, you know, as they went along. So they're windy, curvy. And it's just not a good situation for security purposes if you're gonna wind through the streets of Jerusalem. You agree with that, Ray?
Yeah, you can't put the president in those windy, narrow streets. Something bad could happen.
Yeah, so if it's going to – now, unless it's scouted out in 2017, president did go to the Western Wall, but that's not an easy thing to do. We'll be back momentarily. Frank Turek will be on with us. Stay with us.
When a woman experiences an unplanned pregnancy, she often feels alone and afraid. So many times her first response is to seek out an abortion. But because of the generosity of listeners like you, that search may lead her to a Preborn Network clinic. Preborn offers God's love and compassion to hurting women and then provides a free ultrasound to introduce them to the life growing inside them. This combination brings the ultimate miracle of life to life and doubles a baby's chance at life, which is why Preborn saw over 67,000 babies rescued last year alone. Meet Maddie. Maddie was in a tough situation as she wasn't sure who the father was. But after receiving counseling, prayer, and a free ultrasound at a Preborn Network clinic, everything changed. Maddie discovered she had twins and found the strength she needed to choose life. Your tax-deductible donation of $28 sponsors one ultrasound. How many babies can you save? Please donate your best gift today. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or go to preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Fred, Chris, and Ray. And we're joined now by Dr. Frank Turek, host of I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist, heard Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. Central Time and Sunday afternoons at 4 p.m. Central Time right here on AFR. Good morning, Frank.
How is everybody?
We're doing great, man. How about yourself?
Just swell.
You got the big golf tournament coming to town, right?
Yeah, I just did a podcast with my friend Webb Simpson. He's not in this tournament, but it's right here in Quail Hollow Golf Club. It's the PGA, and to show you how good I am, Tim, I had to have my ball retriever re-gripped. that's the club I use the most.
For those who don't know, that's that. It's a long extension that you use to retrieve your ball from the water or the woods, and that's what Frank's talking about. So Webb Simpson, the professional golf player, he's well known in the golf world. So he's a personal friend of yours, huh?
Yeah, he lives up here in Charlotte. Good Christian guy. We just did a podcast with him called the Bible Caddy Podcast, and it's basically a bunch of professional golfers talking about Jesus. So they just had me on to talk about the evidence for Jesus.
Right. Well, all right, I want to set this up. I was reading an article last night about the podcaster, speaking of podcasters, Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
He is the number one or the number two podcaster in the world, I believe, terms of downloads. And now, I wouldn't recommend his show. I don't listen to it on a regular basis. He uses a lot of profanity. But he has a lot of interesting and thoughtful conversations and topics covered, from what I understand. And I do read about what he has to say, and I pay attention because I'm curious what pop culture is saying out there, right? And he is on the leading edge of that. So he's known as an atheist. I guess he's described himself in that way, as an atheist. But he recently had a conversation about God and Jesus. And do we want to play this and then we'll let Frank dive into this?
We can do this.
What are we going to play here?
Well, we've got some audio of Joe Rogan, again, a self-described atheist.
No profanity. You bleeped it out?
Well, Steve cut the bite. So
Steve did it.
We're going to go on faith that it's clean. But Rogan has questioned the logic of the Big Bang Theory, saying the resurrection of Jesus Christ makes far more sense. And in this particular bit of audio that we're going to play, Rogan is talking to a TikTok personality by the name of Cody Tucker. Here is Mr. Rogan, clip 11.
The difference between science and religion is that science only asks you for one miracle. I want you to believe in one miracle, the Big Bang.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a good one.
It's a great line. Yeah. It's because it really is true. Yes. And it's funny because people would be incredulous about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but yet they're convinced that the entire universe was smaller than the head of a pin, and for no reason than anybody's adequately explained to me. Makes sense.
Yeah. No,
instantaneously became everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I can't buy that.
I'm sticking with Jesus on that one.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus makes more sense.
What's he talking about there, Frank?
Well, he's making a point that we make quite a bit in our book, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist, and when I go to college campuses, I do the same thing, to point out that the greatest miracle in the Bible is the first verse, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." If that verse is true, every other verse is at least believable, because if God can create the universe out of nothing, he can resurrect Jesus from the dead, he can part the Red Sea, he can walk on water, he can turn water into wine. Because the greatest miracle is the creation of the universe out of nothing. And the interesting thing is that even atheists are admitting the evidence for the greatest miracle. They're admitting that space, time, and matter had a beginning out of nothing. My point, and I think Rogan is making this point implicitly, or if not explicitly, that if space, time, and matter had a beginning out of nothing, what could have caused that? Only a spaceless, timeless, immaterial, powerful, personal, intelligent creator could have caused that. Because if space, time, and matter had a beginning, the cause has to transcend space, time, and matter. In other words, it's got to be a spaceless, timeless, immaterial, powerful, personal, intelligent cause to create the universe out of nothing. So atheists believe in at least one miracle. They believe that nothing created something out of nothing. That's essentially what he's saying. And I actually think it takes more faith to believe that than to believe that someone created something out of nothing. But Tim, it's atheists believe in more miracles than just the creation of the universe out of nothing. Sure, they believe no one created everything out of nothing, but they also believe that they have to believe that fine-tuning arose without a fine-tuner because the universe is fine-tuned. They have to believe that order and natural laws arose and are sustained without a mind, that life arose from non-life without intelligence. They have to believe that DNA, which is in every living thing, which is essentially a software program, arose without a programmer. They have to believe that rationality arose from irrationality. They have to believe that moral laws arose without a lawgiver. They have to believe that consciousness arose from non-consciousness. And they have to believe that the personal arose from the non-personal. Those would all be miracles. And they have no miracle worker. You know, Christians have a miracle worker. An uncreated, eternal, spaceless, timeless, immaterial, powerful, moral, personal, intelligent mind that created and sustains the entire universe and created what we mentioned earlier, a fine-tuned universe, natural laws, life, DNA, rationality. All of those things are better explained by a being such as God than nothing.
Why do you think then people who are otherwise intelligent, smart people, would be atheist? I mean,
well, that's why I ask people, if Christianity were true, would you become a Christian? And most atheists will say no.
Okay.
Because it's not about the head; it's about the heart. They don't want it to be true.
Okay.
They don't want there to be a God.
They don't want. They don't want somebody. They don't want God telling them how they should live.
Well, that's certainly part of it for many of them. I can't say that's true for everyone.
Right.
Right. And because you know, let's be fair. A lot of Christians just believe in Christianity because they want to. They can't give you evidence that it's true. They just want it to be true. Now, thankfully, you can believe something that's true and not know why it's true, right? But I think atheists are believing something that's false, and there's a lot of evidence that God does exist, even though they say he doesn't.
Yeah. Ray, any thoughts on what we're discussing here?
Yeah. Frank, I want to ask you, circling back to Joe Rogan, it's fascinating where... You know, people call him an atheist, but he doesn't sound like, quote, the usual antagonistic, hard-hearted atheist, and even said, I'm going to take my side with Jesus in the resurrection, which I don't take as him saying, I believe Jesus rose from the dead, but he seems, what would we call him? A man who is skeptical, but curious?
Yeah, I hope so. I think he is curious, Ray. He's had some, you know, Christian apologists on. You know, he's had Steve Meyer on, who wrote Signature in the Cell and Return of the God Hypothesis. He's had Wes Huff on, who's a young apologist up in Canada. You know, so he seems to be open to it, at least at this point. Maybe he's certainly moving in that direction, hopefully. And, you know, I think we all have to remember that we shouldn't expect people to agree with us because we're all at a different point in our own spiritual development. I mean, if you go back a certain number of years, you probably didn't believe then what you believe now, right?
Right.
So why do we expect everyone to agree with what we believe now to be true when maybe 30, 40 years ago, we didn't believe what we believe now, right? I mean, people often say to me, Frank, you know, those kids on college campuses, sometimes they can get a little uppity. They can get a little unkind. You know, they can get snippy. Why don't you get mad at them? I go, like, why would I be mad at a 22-year-old kid? You know, I mean, when I was 22, I didn't agree with my 63-year-old self. So why should I expect some 22-year-old now to agree with what I believe now? Maybe I shouldn't, because I don't know where that kid came from.
I think you got the workings of a good country song right there, honestly.
It could be.
Why my 22-year-old self doesn't agree with my 62-year-old self.
I like that, man.
Yeah, I think you're on to something.
I think that's right in the vein of how can I miss you if you won't go away.
That's funny.
And I keep missing you, baby, but my aim's getting better.
That's terrible. That's terrible. All right, delete that from the show. You know what? I have a lot more respect. I've mentioned this before for somebody who says I'm an agnostic, mm-hmm. in the sense that I don't know. I don't know exactly about God or Jesus, right. I'm open to persuasion. I'm open to reading more, mm-hmm. but I respect that a lot more than I do somebody who just shuts it down and says, I'm not even going, God doesn't exist. I'm not even going to consider the possibility that he does, or that a God, mm-hmm. they would say. So,
yeah.
And I do think the main reason why people would be hardcore atheist, when in light of everything, Frank talked about a few moments ago, which is undeniable, all those things he listed, which are really unexplainable outside of a intelligent being creating such. Now that doesn't necessarily prove that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, or the message of Christianity is absolutely true, but it does establish the fact that there is an intelligent mind behind the universe, all those things that Frank listed a few moments ago. But for somebody to say, you know, I think the main reason why people would say I'm an atheist is they don't want to consider that God has moral laws that they have to live by, and this God is superior, is a all-knowing, all omnipresent being. So that make sense? What I'm talking about there? Human heart's rebellious against God. Go ahead.
Well, it is, and it's as Frank said. You know, if it's true, would you believe it? No, many times, because they do not want the moral implications that come with following Christ. And I think, Frank, that the story of Joe Rogan, first of all, we're not to the end of this story, but here's a guy with the number one podcast in the world, I believe, listened to by multiple millions of people. And the crazy thing about, and it's not, Tim, to be clear, it's not as if I'm a frequent listener, but you know, you pop in here and there. With Joe, you can hear almost anything from one podcast to another. So he's had,
right,
as you said, Frank, he's had these evangelical Christians who very winsomely have explained the gospel to him. And I take it from his comments that he's listening, which, friends, I think ought to give us encouragement, mm-hmm. uh-huh. that not everybody who doesn't believe hates the Lord. Sometimes they're thinking about it. They're pondering it. and they're on the way, but they just don't know it yet. And we ought to keep on sharing Christ, and we, above all, ought to keep on praying.
Amen. Well, Frank, where's your next stop? What college campus are you going to now?
Well, college won't start up again until the fall, but we're going to Michigan this weekend near Grand Rapids, Grace Community Church in Hudsonville, Michigan. So I'll be there.
We have listeners in Saturday, we have listeners in Grand Rapids area. We have a radio.
You got Grand Rapids people?
Yeah, we have a radio station in, is it Muskegon?
Oh, Muskegon. Yeah, that's not far.
Muskegon.
Yeah, well, this the 17th, so that's this Saturday. I'll be up there for a men's conference in the afternoon. It's Grace Community Church in Hudsonville. And then I'm doing the Sunday morning services and then the Sunday evening service as well, where we'll have Q&A. We'll do an I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. So
at the same church?
Yep, same church.
Okay, what's the name of the church?
Grace Community Church. It's in Hudsonville, I believe.
Do you have to have tickets or is it?
No. It's free.
Okay.
Yeah, anyone can come.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen. Thanks for being on with us. Wish you the best. Safe travels, and we will hope that you make the pro golfing tour soon.
Negative. That's never going to happen.
Even with God, it would take a miracle of God.
But yeah, but I am writing more country songs like "How Can I Miss You If You Won't Go Away."
Okay. See you, Frank.
That? Bye. Is that better?
Yeah, it's probably time for you to go. So long, toodaloo.
All right. God bless you guys. Hey. See you.
All right.
Bye. See you.
You're listening to Today's Issues. That's Dr. Frank Turek. What do you think about all that, Fred?
His country song.
Yeah, his
lines.
Country song. He said he's got.
Come on, that's what's resonating in everybody's mind.
I can't
miss you if you don't go away.
Yeah, you know when I first started in the radio business, I was late teens.
Yeah,
and one of my jobs was a DJ, and I had to endure. I was a DJ for a 6-hour country and western block.
Okay,
at a radio station.
This is back in the 70s.
This would be back in the 70s.
Okay.
And I'm going to reveal a trade secret. I would roll the record and then turn the monitor down. And I could watch records. That dates me. That really dates me. So when the needle got too close in there to the center, I would bring the monitor back up.
Okay.
For six hours.
You mean the needle on the record?
The needle on the record, yes.
Were these 45s or albums or?
45s, maybe.
45s.
Yeah, see, now we have to educate Chris.
You know what a 45 is, right?
I've heard Chris? Of them, yes.
They're a little small vinyl.
Right.
Okay, it's basically like a disc. It's like I had, we had CDs, obviously, and you could actually buy a single CD. In other words, it was a CD with one song on it, maybe two. And that was our version of a 45.
Yeah.
What was the other one? A 70?
A 70. Well, a 78 was a album, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes.
Right? You remember those?
I know 33 was the album, right?
Yeah. Oh, was that? Okay. What was the 78 then?
Really fast.
Okay. That's when, like.
When you wanted to get through it quickly.
Really fast.
That's speed playing, wasn't it? But anyway, so you played 6 hours of country and western music back in the day,
'70s.
Man. We're talking Tammy Wynette and Conway Twitty, and
they were there. And then on top of it, because it was in Canada, 30% of it had to be Canadian produced music.
Okay,
so
a lot of Ann Murray,
and Stompin' Tom Connors. Have you guys ever heard of Stompin' Tom Connors?
He's my favorite wrestler.
Stompin' Tom Connors. Now, if you've ever watched hockey games, they will play one big song that he had, the good old hockey game.
Oh, yeah.
All right? That was Stompin' Tom Connors from Prince Edward Island.
He's also known for gems like Bud the Spud, Big Joe Mufferaw.
I wrote that one and, for him, right there.
Here's one that's big with condiments, the ketchup song.
Yeah.
Bud? Did you say Bud the Spud?
I did. And I'm reading this from the internet because clearly, if I don't know the Carpenters, I don't know. I'm not familiar with Connors.
I've not heard of this singer that Fred's talking about. The what? No, what now? What was his name?
Stompin' Tom Connors from Prince Edward Island, the island of.
That sounds like a pro wrestler.
Anne of Green Gables. Yep. No, he had Stompin' because part of his shtick
right.
Was he had a piece of wood out there, and he'd stomp his foot on this piece of wood.
Okay.
Well, yeah. We all have our way of dealing with stress. That was his way of dealing with stress, I guess.
I guess so.
Oh, he's saying I've been everywhere. I've heard that song.
He probably covered that. Yeah. Johnny Cash.
Yes.
Or he's been, if that's the same song we're talking about. Oh. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. What's the next story, Chris?
Well, we talked a minute ago about golf, so I'm going to keep it in sports for a moment because onlookers recently watched in disbelief at a Maine high school spring track meet as a biological male competing in the girls' division coasted to victory in the 800-meter and 1,600-meter races. There is a junior who goes by the name Soren Stark Chessa. He is a male. And he came in first place while running for North Yarmouth Academy at an event in Hiram, Maine on May 2nd. Behind him was a trail of young women, all of which finished in distant second, third, and fourth, so on places. So basically, you have another incident in Maine where a man is beating
people. What is wrong with Maine?
They're thumbing their nose at
President
Trump.
What is wrong with the people of Maine?
Huh? I think it's a lot of Massachusetts people that moved up there. Mm-hmm. Boston got too crowded for them. And they move northeast.
They're letting males compete against females high school.
Yes, yes.
This guy, again, they call him. This is a guy who says he's a woman.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay, which is not true because his biology is male. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's be clear. He'll say I'm a girl, but he is a male, and if you look at him. He has muscular and the makeup of a male. Clearly, you look at his legs, which are exposed because he's a track runner. Is it cross country?
Yes.
Okay, and you go in like these are the legs of a man who is strong.
Right. Yeah. I have posted pictures of this individual that I'm talking about.
So I don't know what's wrong with the people of Maine to let this go on here, but I do know that remember it was about. 6 or 8 weeks ago, the governor of Maine was one of the attendees at the White House when the governors of various states were in D.C. and they were invited to the White House for dinner and to hear from President Trump. And President Trump basically confronted the governor.
Yes, we have this audio if you want.
Oh, we do?
Yes.
Okay, well, let's play this. Go ahead.
Clip 10.
The NCAA has complied immediately, by the way. That's good. But I understand Maine. Is Maine here, the governor of Maine? Well, are you not going to comply with it?
I'm complying with state and federal laws.
We are the federal law. Well, you better do it. You better do it because you're not going to get any federal funding at all if you don't. And by the way, your population, even though it's somewhat liberal, although I did very well there, your population doesn't want men playing in women's sports. So you better comply because otherwise you're not getting any federal funding.
See you in court.
Every state. Good. I'll see you in court. I look forward to that. That should be a real easy one. And enjoy your life after governor because I don't think you'll be in elected politics.
Ever the diplomat.
Right, yes.
That's right. Enjoy your life after politics.
He did do well in Maine. I looked it up. He got 45% of the vote there.
For a liberal state, that's very good for a Republican. Well, listen, what he was telling her was that his administration was reversing what Biden was doing. Mm-hmm. Remember, Biden was pushing transgenderism.
Yep.
And Biden said states are not going to get any money unless they let boys compete against girls and go into the girls' showers and dressings and changing rooms and all the whole thing.
Yep.
And because I remember Governor Ron DeSantis and others – Florida said we're not going to comply with that.
Right. Uh-huh.
So, what President Trump did was he reversed that, and he said, if you allow boys to compete against girls in sports, and go into their changing rooms and their showers and everything that goes with it, then you will not receive federal money. I don't know in what all capacities he was talking about, but at least for schools, I guess he was talking about. Right, right,
yep.
Fred?
That's the direction. It is 180 degrees to Joe Biden.
Oh, yeah.
And it turned out, I believe, to be an extreme. The Democrats' stand on that turned out to be a huge liability in the election last fall, because I believe independents, moderate Democrats who have daughters, there's no way they're going to endorse my daughter,
right,
when she plays soccer or
right,
she plays tennis. I'm not going to go along with the idea that some guy who just says he's a girl is going to be allowed to compete right against my daughter or go into her change room.
Right, right. You know, remember, we're hearing these horror stories from states where this is allowed.
Yes.
People forget about this. You just think, well, that's outrageous that a boy should be able to compete against a girl in sports. How unfair is that? But you forget about the related issue, and that is the one of privacy.
Yes.
Where girls are made to go into showers and changing areas with these guys.
Yeah.
And the guys are, they say they're women, but they go to the changing area. They're not women. They're males.
Yes.
And yet the young ladies have to, cater to that.
Yes. Yeah.
So, and not in these liberal, very liberal states.
And we had the cases in Loudoun County in Virginia where the guy who said he was a girl was allowed to go into the girls' changing room, and then there were assaults in there.
Yeah.
And one school moved that guy to just to another district.
Yeah.
Yeah, if ever there was a time in America where somebody really learned that you can't just go with a political party and what they tell you, it's this particular issue, because Democrats are the reason we have Title IX. And in the year of our Lord 2025, the Democratic Party has turned its back on women over
yeah,
this issue.
Yeah, they don't protect women.
No.
And, you know, another thing is, in no other category do we deny science and reality. I can't say I am a... I'm a Chinese person. You would say, you can call yourself a Chinese person, but you're an Anglo-Saxon or whatever I am.
Yep.
White American, of European descent. So people would say, well, he's messed up in the head. He thinks he's Chinese. Okay?
Yep.
So in no other category do we say we can just claim to be something and we're supposed to assent to it. And except for this issue,
yeah.
This issue, we're supposed to let boys who say they're girls be called girls. We'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.